An Indomitable Life by Chibi Mom, read by Podfic Lover. The heavy industrial mop swung easily, lashing at the floor like a cat on nine tails. After a couple of swishes, the mop was replaced in the soapy water and wrung out before continuing. Clark whistled a sappy Disney tune as he carefully cleaned along the baseboards and doorways of the long corridor on the 43rd floor. Occasionally, he took out a bristle brush to work on a stubborn area of dirt. Clark was on his hands and knees when an office door suddenly flew open and a man went tumbling over him. The man slid a few feet down the wet, soapy floor before skidding to a halt. "God damn it!" the man yelled loudly, arms and feet in the air. Clark got up and hurried over to the sprawled man. He quickly used his X-ray vision, but found nothing broken. "Let me help you," Clark offered his hand, but the man smacked it away. "I think you've done enough damage." The man struggled to get to his feet, trying to save his dignity, but slid again, his loafer slipping on the wet floor. "Shit!" "Sir, please." Clark ignored the protests and pulled the man to his feet. "I'm sorry. I didn't know anyone was still working, or I would have waited to mop." He hung his head and stared at the floor. Nice-looking kid. Tall, broad-shouldered. Long wavy shock of hair sticking to his sweaty face. Gorgeous hazel eyes picking up the green in his custodial uniform. "Are you okay?" the man asked, attempting to smooth out his damp clothes. "Didn't I kick you in the ribs when I fell over you?" "No, I'm fine," Clark replied, not lifting his eyes. "Are you going to report me?" he asked softly. He needed this job. It paid well. $9 an hour, the most he had ever made in his 16 years. "No, this kid doesn't know who I am. What's your name?" "Clark." "Just Clark?" "Clark Smith." Clark lifted his gaze from the floor. "I'm Lex Luthor, Clark." Lex looked at the boy kindly, pushing his hands into his coat pockets. "I'm so sorry, Mr. Luthor," Clark blushed. "Fuck, the goddamn man himself. He should have recognized him. The bald head was a dead giveaway. No permanent harm done. I haven't seen you before. How long have you worked for LexCorp?"
3 weeks now," Clark said. "I haven't seen anyone working this late before. I work from 10:30 to 5:30.
"Do you like working here?" Lex wondered why he asked the question. He'd never been interested in janitors before.
"Yes, sir. It's the best job I've had." Clark lowered his gaze again. "I better rinse the floor and pack up my locker. I won't bother you again, Mr. Luthor."
"I'm not firing you, Clark." Lex surprised himself. He should be furious, terminating this boy's employment immediately. But Clark intrigued him. "Just finish your work."
"Thank you, sir," Clark smiled, genuinely grateful.
God, what a beautiful smile, and so earnest. "You're welcome." Lex turned and walked away. Clark was just a kid, he told himself. But the worms in his groin didn't seem to care. He just had to take care of it when he got home. Too bad, he was only looking forward to a hand job.
Wow, Lex Luthor himself. He didn't seem like the ogre everyone gossiped about.
Clark changed the water in his bucket in the custodian's room and finished rinsing the floor. That Disney tune hung more loudly in the air. Part 2. Lex read over Clark's application for the janitor's job. 16 years old. Birthday in 3 months. High school dropout before his junior year. Fairly good grades, though. Why didn't he finish? Orphaned. Address given was George and Linda Stevens in Smallville. Surely the boy didn't commute daily. Wonder why they let him drop out of school. Referred by St. Matthew's Shelter for Men over on Southwest Boulevard. Lex returned the application and drug test results to the personal file. Some anomalies were found in his urine, but the results were not too different from other employees from Smallville. LexCorp's fertilizer plant employed several thousand citizens there. Many had strange things show up in their drug tests. Smallville citizens blamed these oddities on a radioactive meteor shower 15 years prior. What did Clark do during the day since he didn't attend school? This young man intrigued him. Lex picked up his phone and dialed the Stevens phone number in Smallville. It was the emergency number listed on Clark's application. The phone rang a few times before it was picked up. "Hello," a gravely female voice answered.
"Hello, am I speaking to Mrs. Stevens?" Lex asked.
"Yes. Who are you and what do you want?" The voice sounded strained. "Right to the point. I'm calling from LexCorp in Metropolis and have a question about your ward, Clark Smith."
What's the boy done now? We don't have the money to bail him out of jail or pay anything he's done. Mrs. Stevens' strident voice was growing louder. He hasn't lived with us for over 6 months now.
6 months, you say? Lex thought for a moment. Where does he live now? It was obvious she hadn't talked to Clark in quite a while. There was no love lost here.
Not sure. Metropolis somewhere, I think. The woman wheezed, and Lex felt like he needed to disinfect his phone.
But he's only 16, Lex probed. He swung around in his chair to look out over the Metropolis skyline. Clouds hung low in the sky, promising a much-needed rain.
Never could smack any sense into him.
Linda Stevens coated a deep, wet hack, then asked, What has he done now?
Nothing, ma'am.
Lex held back a shudder.
Thick drops of rain bounced off the floor-to-ceiling window. I was just calling to get a little more background information on him. He's a recent employee of LexCorp. Oh, how much is he making? He owes us a lot of money for what we've put up with, always breaking things and all.
Didn't you get paid by the state for fostering him? Lex was getting angry. Lightning snaked across the sky like spider veins. This woman seemed awfully interested in money. Had she ever really cared for Clark?
Yeah, but it was never enough. That boy ate us out of house and home. At least the checks help out some now.
You'd best watch that boy close. Keep him away from valuable stuff. He'll break it or steal it. He's real strong, too. He'll hurt you, too, if you're not careful.
Lex couldn't believe what he was hearing. This couldn't be the same boy he met last night.
How long did he live with you? Lex asked, twirling his pen in his fingers as the drops of rain turned to torrents.
About 8 years. He's been with several different foster homes before we got him.
He turned up after the meteor storm in 89, wandering around naked. The authorities never could find his real parents. Probably didn't want him around anymore. What has he done? Is there a reward for?
Lex couldn't control his anger this time. 8 years with this woman.
No, ma'am. Like I said, just doing some background work. He has been a stellar employee. Thanks for your help.
Lex hung up without listening any further. He was furious.
A loud snap of thunder sounded, lightning barely inches outside the building. Sharon? Lex called the secretary over the intercom.
Yes, sir.
Please contact Family Services and let them know that George and Linda Stevens of Smallville are receiving welfare checks for a foster child, Clark Smith, who hasn't lived with them for 6 months now. Tell them I personally want to know when the situation has been taken care of.
If anything, Clark should be receiving the money. He's only 16 and on his own.
Yes, Mr. Luther, I handle it. Lex hung up the phone and stood watching the spring storm. He put Clark's employment information back and filed it in his left-hand file drawer. He took a bottle of water from the mini-fridge under the bar and sat in the leather couch in front of his desk, contemplating the large stack of paperwork. Lex had plenty of work to keep him busy until Clark's shift started. A twinge of excitement emanated from his dick at the thought of seeing the young man again. This had to stop. He was a 23-year-old business mogul, not a teenager. Lex did his best to ignore it and dug into his pile of papers. Lex waited for Clark outside the employees' locker rooms. He looked very conspicuous in his black Armani suit and black reptile skin loafers. His one consideration to the time of night was his lack of a tie. His pale pink linen dress shirt was unbuttoned to expose his throat. Lex caught sight of his quarry just as Clark turned the corner to make his way down the hall to the locker room. He was whistling and carrying a small brown paper lunch bag. Lex checked his watch. The boy was a good 20 minutes early for his shift.
Mr. Luther, Clark said, checking his own watch. Are you waiting for me? I'm not late or anything.
Am I? He bit his lower lip as he stood nervously before his employer.
No, Clark, Lex said, standing up from the bench. You aren't late. But yes, I was waiting for you. I have a couple of questions I'd like to ask.
Clark shifted his weight nervously, staring at the lavender and white tile floor.
Will you come up to my office? Lex smiled in an attempt to ease the young man's fears. We'll be more comfortable there.
If you're going to fire me, I'd just as soon you do it here.
Clark lifted his gaze to look at Lex directly.
You aren't being fired, Clark. I just have some questions. I like to get to know my employees.
Lex put on his winning smile. What a crock. But it sounded good.
Okay, sure.
Clark smiled back and followed Lex down the hallway.
Part 3. Clark accepted the bottle of Sprite Lex offered him and sat in the proffered leather chair in the sitting area of the office. Lex sat opposite him in a matching chair. He set his bottle of water on the mahogany cocktail table between them. The office was huge with walls paneled in teak. The floor was covered in a plush lavender carpet, and the ceiling-to-floor windows had complementary purple vertical shades. Clark could see the door to the private bathroom. And bedroom? The furniture was surprisingly inviting. Clark had assumed that the furniture would be modern and stuffy, but the dark leather chairs with a matching sofa lent an air of coziness to the room. "Could you tell me a little bit about yourself, Clark?" Lex asked nonchalantly. He wanted to keep the conversation light. The last thing he wanted was to scare the young man. "Well, there isn't much to tell. My parents died when I was about 3 or 4 years old, probably by the meteor shower that devastated Smallville in 1989. No one seemed to know who I was."
"Really?"
"Yeah, I guess I was a little bit too old to adopt out. Most folks want a baby, and I wasn't that anymore. Plus, I couldn't talk."
"Couldn't talk?"
Lex leaned forward in his chair. "Why wouldn't the child be able to talk?" "No, the first foster home I was in, Cindy, taught me how to talk. I can remember her a little. I liked her. She was nice."
Clark shifted his weight and looked at Lex.
"So you weren't with them long?" Lex asked.
"No, maybe a year. I was in several different homes. I must have been too hard to take care of when I was little. That, or I did a lot of bad things."
Clark blushed and looked away. "I don't think you could have been bad. You were just a little kid, Clark."
Lex offered a sympathetic face. Obviously, Clark had that idea smacked into him over and over. Clark took another long swig of his Sprite before continuing. "When I was 8, I went to live with the Stevens." His voice grew somber. "That's when I really turned into a bad kid." Clark looked down at the plush carpet. "But I hope I have changed now." He looked up at Lex and smiled slightly, brushing his hair out of his eyes.
"I'm sure you have. Why did you quit school?" Lex pushed on. This boy was beautiful, and Lex couldn't help but want to know everything about him.
"I was a total geek in high school." Clark felt more easy now, talking to Lex. Lex actually seemed to listen and care about what he had to say. "I had a growth spurt in my freshman year and shot up 7 inches. My foster parents couldn't keep me in clothes, and I was eating too much. I'd eat at a friend's house as often as I could to help with the grocery bill. I was always hungry, it seemed. I just kept growing."
"But Clark, they were being paid to provide you with food and clothing," Lex said softly. "It was their responsibility. Fucking foster parents."
"But you don't understand," Clark became defensive. "The money was never enough. They told me so."
"Okay, I didn't mean to imply that your foster parents weren't doing the best they could." Anger boiled in Lex's stomach, but he kept the steam inside.
"I'm glad we had this talk, Clark. I'd like to see you again, away from work. There's a lot more I would like to know about you."
"Really? My life hasn't been that interesting, Mr. Luther."
"No, really, Clark. I like you and want to get to know you better."
"Okay," Clark was dubious. "Where would you like to meet? I get back to my room about 6:15 in the morning and usually sleep until 1:30.
"Why don't we meet for a late lunch at Sandy's coffee shop at 3 p.m. tomorrow? Is that convenient for you?" Lex asked.
Sure. Clark looked down at his worn athletic shoes. There were several little holes on the outside of the sheep shoes.
Mr. Luther, I had to use my first paycheck to put down a deposit at the rooming house. I really can't afford to."
Lex cut him off. "Of course, lunch will be on me."
"That's awfully nice." Clark looked up and smiled at his employer. Lex stood and escorted Clark to the door. "Until tomorrow, then."
Bye, Mr. Luther.
Call me Lex."
"Okay, bye, Lex."
Lunch with Lex had gone well. They had talked mostly about sports. Clark was fascinated with Lex's stories about the Sharks, the Metropolis Major League football team owned by Luther Corp. At the conclusion of lunch, Lex had invited Clark to dinner and some movies at his penthouse apartment the following Saturday. Clark stopped at the security desk in Luther Towers. The officer was expecting him and motioned the boy to the private elevator. The ride up to the 60th floor was fast and smooth. The elevator opened and he followed the short hall to the only door available. He knocked once and the door opened. Lex smiled and let him inside.
"Wow, this is quite a place." Clark scanned the open-style interior. "Yes, well, it's definitely more than I really need. Come on, and I'll show you to the entertainment room."
Lex touched Clark's forearm to lead the way, and a deep warmth ran through the boy and pooled in his groin. Clark pulled his arm away, hoping he did so in a casual manner. He didn't want Lex to notice his embarrassment. Clark had been attracted to boys before, but it scared him to death. Now Lex was a man and his employer. "I hope you like pizza. I ordered several. There should be something you'll like." Lex went to the bar and pulled out a Coke and a bottle of water. He handed the soft drink to Clark and twisted the top on his water. "Oh, I'll eat just about anything," Clark said, smiling. He plunged into the deep leather couch, setting his can on the coffee table. He adjusted his jeans, trying to hide his growing erection. The room was dominated by a huge plasma TV. The walls were paneled in rich walnut, and a thick pile carpet cushioned the floor. A floor-to-ceiling bookcase filled with books of all types covered an entire wall. A purple-clad pool table occupied the area adjacent to the TV. There was also an old-looking pinball machine in the corner. Clark was overwhelmed. "Let's see," Lex mused. "What movie do you want to watch?" He spread a few out on the table in front of Clark. "Gee, Lex, some of these aren't even out at the theaters yet." Clark couldn't hide his excitement. "Well, it helps to own majority interests in much of the entertainment industry." Clark picked out one and handed it to Lex. The intercom buzzed, and Lex answered, conferring with the security desk. "Pizzas are here. Security will bring them right up." Lex went to the door to wait. "Clark, there are some plates and napkins on the kitchen counter. Would you get them, please?" "Sure." Clark found his way to the kitchen and picked up the plates and napkins, which were laid out on a tray. The kitchen was huge. A large stainless steel refrigerator and a separate freezer stood side by side. All countertop appliances looked brand new and expensive. The center cooking island had many copper pans hanging above it. "One could prepare food for an army here." Clark wondered if Lex had a cook. He didn't seem like someone who would cook for himself. Clark headed back to the entertainment room. Lex spread the 6 boxes across the coffee table. There were indeed pizzas to satisfy any taste. Clark filled his plate as Lex loaded the DVD player. They ate in comfortable silence as the movie played. After devouring the first 4 pieces of pizza Clark had on his plate, he reached across the table to retrieve some from the box furthest away. Lex watched as Clark's t-shirt rode up on his back, offering a few inches of golden skin. The boy was terrible thin. "So, where have you stayed since you moved away from Smallville?" Lex asked lightly. Clark looked at him as he bit off a large piece of pizza. He hurriedly chewed and swallowed. Lex paused the DVD on the TV remote. "I lived at St. Matthew's Shelter for a couple of months," Clark said, glancing away from Lex. "I had nowhere else to go while I looked for a job. They were kind and pretty much left me alone. St. Matthew's is a well-run shelter. It's a charity LexCorp donates to annually." Lex smiled, happy that one of his charities had helped Clark. Clark set his plate on the table. The conversation had obviously become unpleasant for him. Did Clark think that Lex was trying to show him his place? Lex hoped that Clark thought of him as a friend. Lex backpedaled in his mind, trying to think of something appropriate to say. "I think I should go," Clark said, standing. His hair covered his eyes as he stared at the floor. "Why, Clark? Did I offend you? I'm sorry. I never meant to make you feel uncomfortable." Lex followed Clark to the door. Clark turned suddenly, and Lex was inches from him. The heat radiating off Clark burned Lex's soul. Lex leaned forward, slightly, and pressed his lips to Clark's. Clark reeled, and his knees grew weak. Clark took a deep breath, and his mouth opened slightly. Needing no further encouragement, Lex's tongue licked Clark's lips and tickled its way lightly inside Clark's mouth. Clark groaned as Lex pushed him back against the door, exploring the deep recesses of Clark's mouth. Lex wrapped his hands around Clark's head and carded his dark tresses. "Lex," Clark moaned, "please, no." Clark gently pushed on Lex's chest. "Lex, stop." He twisted in Lex's arms, and his erection brushed against Lex's thigh. "Stop," Lex said, finally pulling back from Clark's mouth. "That's not what your body is telling me." Lex held Clark at arm's length. Clark pushed Lex away, almost sending the older man sprawling before he regained his balance. Clark looked at Lex in horror. "I'm sorry." Clark opened the door and sped down the stairs, not waiting for the elevator.
Lex looked out the door. He knew he hadn't misread the boy. Clark had responded to his touch, his kiss. Lex desperately hoped he hadn't ruined what was quickly becoming an obsession. Part 4. Lex waited until Tuesday afternoon before calling Clark. The boy didn't have a phone in his room, so Lex had to call the general number for the boarding house. When asked who was calling, he said, "A friend." He didn't want Clark bothered by a nosy landlady. "Hello?" Clark's voice was pure heaven to Lex's ears. "Hello, Clark, it's Lex." "Hello, Lex." Clark's voice was low and steady. Lex felt somewhat at loss for words, a condition he definitely did not feel comfortable with. "Look, I'm sorry about the other night, Clark. I'd like to make it up to you. I would still like to be friends." "Lex, I'm not sure that's a good idea. I thought I could handle, friendship, but I guess I can't." Clark's voice was wistful. "Clark, it was my fault. I should never have put you in a situation that made you uncomfortable. I'd be lying if I'd say I didn't find you attractive. But, most of all, I'd like to be your friend. Would you let me try again? Maybe meet someplace public?" Lex could almost feel Clark struggling with the idea. He let the boy mull it over for a moment before speaking again. "Clark, would you meet me for coffee at Sandy's?" Lex was sure he heard a sigh on the other end of the phone. "Okay, when?" "How about in an hour?" Lex hoped he wasn't pushing his luck with this kiddish boy. "Okay, I'll be there. Bye." "Yes!" Lex closed his cell phone. Lex quickly changed into a pair of designer chinos and a pale blue silk sweater that he kept in the closet in his office. He looked at himself in the full-length mirror in approval. This was as casual as he could get. Lex picked up the keys to the BMW X5 he had driven today and headed downstairs. The BMW SUV was his most unassuming vehicle. He didn't want to advertise his wealth and societal place today. He wanted to look as much like a regular guy as possible for someone who was a multi-billionaire. After parking a couple of blocks away, Lex entered the coffee shop and took a booth in the back. He ordered a cappuccino and waited for Clark. Clark walked right in on time, spotted Lex, and made his way to the back of the coffee shop. Lex stood and shook Clark's hand. "I'm glad you could make it, Clark." Lex smiled and motioned for the waitress. "What would you like?" "Just coffee is fine." Clark looked down at his hands, which were folded on the table. Lex ordered Clark's coffee. "Clark, I'm really sorry." "Let's not talk about it, Lex, okay?" Clark said softly as he looked up at Lex. "Sure, okay," Lex said. "So, what do you have planned for the weekend?" "Nothing much. I usually go to the library and spend the day reading. Then I check out a couple of books to read through the week. I watch some TV in the community living room, but most of the residents are elderly and we don't care for the same programs. I usually walk in the evenings." "Don't you have a TV in your room?" Lex asked innocently.
No. I'm saving to buy a 13-inch. Maybe in a couple of months. But right now, food is more important than a TV." Clark chuckled. "I have to learn to manage my money. I've never had any money to manage before."
"I see," Lex said. But he couldn't imagine not being able to afford something that must cost less than $100. Clark must never have received an allowance. Lex thought of the hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars he had squandered growing up. What belongings were you able to bring to your apartment from your foster parents' home? Clark paled at the question.
I had some clothing and a few books. The room is furnished with a bed and a nice couch and a small dinette set. There's a radio alarm clock and a microwave, too. It's great because I can fix most of my own meals right there."
"You don't get meals included with your room?" Lex asked, having no idea about such accommodations.
"No, two meals a day was an extra $50 a week. I can fix stuff a lot cheaper than that." Clark looked proud of his accomplishment.
Lex thought that must be the reason the boy was so thin. He wasn't eating right, or enough. Clark's coffee came and Lex grabbed a menu from the table. "Would you like to order some sandwiches? I'm a little hungry." Lex peered over the top of the menu at Clark. The boy seemed unsure. Maybe he couldn't afford to buy anything. Lex didn't want to embarrass Clark. God, what should he do?
I had breakfast not too long ago. Clark looked down at his hands again. But go ahead if you want to.
Fuck. Lex went ahead and ordered the biggest BLT platter on Sandy's menu. He was determined to share it with Clark. They chatted about nothing in particular, save subjects like the unusual cold April they had this year and the latest rock music to hit the charts. Lex's meal arrived, and he took one bite before bemoaning the fact that there was just too much food for him to consume. Lex had only eaten one triangular piece of the BLT when Clark relented and cleaned up everything that was left. Sandwich, fries, and onion rings. Dessert came with a platter, and Clark ordered chocolate cake. Where did this kid put all of it? Lex wondered. Clark looked at the licked clean plate and smiled. That was good.
Thanks, Lex.
Anytime, Clark. Thank you for helping me with it.
Would you like to come over to my place sometime? We could listen to the radio.
Clark quickly turned his head in embarrassment.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's not a good idea. You're used to much nicer places.
I'd love to, Clark. I could bring a small TV and we could watch some baseball or something.
Clark seemed to struggle with himself.
Lex recognized pride when he saw it. He did not want to stomp all over Clark's feelings.
Or listening to the radio would be great, too, Lex offered.
Clark seemed so lonely.
How about Saturday afternoon and bring the TV? I'll make popcorn and we can watch ESPN. They are rebroadcasting the Sharks championship game from 2 years ago.
That sounds great, Clark. Lex pulled money out of his wallet to leave on the table.
Clark insisted that the next time they ate out, he would buy.
Can I drive you home? Lex offered.
Okay, then you'll know where to come on Saturday.
Clark's eyes grew large when he saw Lex opening the silver SUV, but he didn't say anything.
Clark gave Lex the address, and they rode in silence to the lower middle-class neighborhood, where Clark's rooming house was. The house was neat with a small but well-cared-for front yard and flower garden. A white picket fence surrounded the freshly mown lawn.
Thanks, Lex. See you Saturday, round 1 o'clock.
Clark turned and walked up the sidewalk to the porch. He turned and waved with a big smile on his face.
Bye, Clark, Lex waved back. He was ecstatic as he drove off. He was back in this beautiful boy's good graces. Now, if he could just stay there.
Part 5. Mr. Luther, why don't you come in? An elderly lady led Lex into the hallway after greeting him at the door. Several residents seated in the living room craned their necks to see the famous billionaire. Lex smiled and stuffed his hands in the pockets of his navy blue jacket after setting the TV on the floor.
Clark came bounding down the stairs, smiling broadly.
Hi, Lex. It's almost time for the game to start. Come on.
Here, let me carry the TV.
Lex followed an enthusiastic Clark to his room on the third floor. It was smaller than Lex had imagined. It was basically one room with an attached bathroom. The twin bed was along one wall, the couch along another. The couch was so small that Lex considered it a love seat. There was an oriental-style divider between the two. The tiny refrigerator and microwave were in the opposite corner, with the two shared dinette sets sitting in front. Books were stacked neatly by the bed. A small reading lamp stood on a tower of two computer paper boxes that served as Clark's nightstand. The boxes were sturdy and had lids, making them useful for storing things. Lex assumed the boxes came from the LexCorp trash room, since the LexCorp logo was stamped on them. Clark set the small TV on one of the dinette chairs that he had positioned a few feet in front of the love seat. He turned it on and quickly tuned in the game.
Nice place you have, Clark, Lex said, trying to sound enthusiastic about Clark's living quarters.
Thanks, it suits my needs and it's inexpensive.
Clark offered Lex a Pepsi and Lex sat down.
More boxes were stacked as end tables on either side of the love seat. Lex set his drink on the one beside him.
Great! The game has just started. I never saw it 2 years ago.
Clark sat next to Lex and pulled his feet up under him. I'll microwave the popcorn during the first commercial.
No hurry, Clark, Lex said. I just ate an hour ago.
Then Lex mentally kicked himself. Clark probably hadn't eaten today and was ready for popcorn.
Actually, Clark, popcorn sounds great.
Okay.
Clark rose and went to the kitchen. He tossed a bag of popcorn in the microwave and hurried back. He stood behind Lex, watching the TV, listening for the ding of the microwave.
They watched the game in grand camaraderie, cheering for good plays and cursing the referees when they made calls against the Sharks. Clark offered Lex another Pepsi, but Lex said he would get it himself. Clark nodded and continued to stare at the TV. Lex got up during the second half to retrieve his Pepsi. He inhaled quietly when he opened the refrigerator. The contents consisted of 5 more soft drinks, a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, and a couple of sticks of margarine. Glancing over at Clark, who was engrossed in the game, Lex silently opened the cupboard doors. He found a few dishes in one. Another one contained a jar of peanut butter and a box of saltines. That, plus the refrigerator contents, appeared to be the extent of the food in the apartment. Oh, and the 3-pack of microwave popcorn, of which only one was left. Clark needed a pay raise, and Lex would make sure it was a substantial one. Lex returned to the couch and set his can on the cardboard table. "How's the game going?" Lex asked, as if he didn't know what was going to happen. He sat just a little closer to Clark than before. If Clark noticed, he didn't say anything. "The Sharks are on the 9-yard line, first down." Clark's eyes didn't leave the TV. Lex pulled his legs under him. His left knee brushed Clark's right thigh. Clark glanced at Lex, but didn't move. He turned his attention back to the TV. "He's going to pass to Robinson," Clark yelled. "Touchdown!" He turned to Lex and hugged him, bouncing up and down on the couch. "Only 4 minutes left, Clark," Lex said. "It looks like we may just pull this one out." Lex grinned and rested his hand on Clark's arm as the boy turned back to the TV. The game ended with the already known result of the Sharks winning the championship. Clark smiled at Lex. "I'm really glad you came over, Lex. I had a nice time." "Me too, Clark." Lex's hand was still on Clark's arm. "Why, Lex?" "Why what?" Lex was confused. He removed his hand and put his arm over the back of the couch. "Why are you doing this? I'm just a lousy janitor who works at your building." "Don't say that," Lex admonished, removing his arm from the back of the couch. This boy needed to begin seeing himself as a good and lovable person. "Lex, it's true. Why do you want to spend time with me?" Cautiously, Lex reached out and touched Clark's cheek. The boy closed his eyes, but didn't pull back. "I like you, Clark. A lot." Lex stroked Clark's jawline and came to a stop at his chin. "Open your eyes." Clark obeyed. Lex chose his next words carefully. "We can be friends, or we can be more." Clark's eyes grew fearful, and Lex removed his hand from the boy's chin. Lex saw Clark's cock filling out his jeans. "Clark, it's okay. I just want to spend time with you. There doesn't have to be anything more." "But I won't lie and say I wouldn't like there to be more." "Lex, I'm sorry. I just can't. Clark, have you ever been with anyone before?" Lex was searching. "A girl? A boy?" Clark pulled away and stood up, looking down at Lex. Lex followed and took Clark's hand. "Clark, has someone hurt you?" He looked deeply into Clark's big hazel eyes and saw fear and pain. Clark spun around and fell to his knees, wrapping his arms around himself. Lex was on the floor in 5 seconds flat, holding the trembling boy. "Clark, it's okay. Talk to me. I want to help, but you must talk to me." Lex ran his fingers through Clark's hair and caressed his back. Clark turned in Lex's arms. There were no tears. The look was pure resignation. "Lex, please." "Clark, you have to do this. You have to talk to me, or you will never get away from the dark specters in your mind." Clark pulled away from Lex and stood up. Slowly, ever so slowly, Clark removed his t-shirt. Slower still, he removed his jeans and his white briefs, then flung them away. Lex swore, softly. The boy's body was covered in scars, white marks across his back and upper thighs. His buttocks were covered in round purple burn marks. Clark turned and Lex saw recent scar tissue around the boy's nipples. One nipple was gone, burned away. Lex did his best to hold back his own tears as he saw burn scars spreading deeply into Clark's pubic patch. Thankfully, the boy's large, circumcised penis looked normal and unharmed. Lex searched lower. Clark's scrotal sack had cigarette burns glaring out between Spare's hairs.
Clark, Lex whispered. Who?
Lex, I told you, I wasn't a good kid growing up. My foster parents told me over and over never to show the proof of my evilness to anyone. I never have. No one has ever seen me undressed. I even got out of gym class with a letter from George, my foster dad, that I was malformed. Lex, I'm so ashamed.
Don't say another word, Lex stood up.
There is nothing in the world you could have done to deserve one of these scars on your body. He held Clark by his shoulders. Do you understand me?
Clark looked away, obviously unable to consider what Lex was saying.
Clark, look at me. Did they starve you too?
Lex, I told you, I was bad. They did their best with me. The money was never enough to pay the food bills.
Lex, I began to change when I was 13.
Clark, puberty changes all of us, Lex said.
No, beyond that. Clark looked away from Lex. I changed. I got stronger, a lot stronger. I could run fast, like fast as a car, and I can see through things. Then, when I turned 16, my skin became harder to hurt. The belt didn't seem to cut into me as much. It made my foster parents mad. I tried to make my foster parents happy, but I always did the wrong things.
Clark spoke slowly, softly.
It was my own fault. I was a mutant like so many others in Smallville. The 1989 meteor shower messed up a lot of people, but it messed me up more than the most.
Clark's voice dropped to a whisper.
George would say that I'd better be off castrated. The world didn't need any little freak Clark Smith running around.
Then he would
hurt me. But it was for my own good, Lex. It really was. He had to teach me.
Clark tentatively reached his hand out to Lex, who took him into his arms and held the naked boy tightly, rocking very slowly. He placed chaste kisses on Clark's cheek and stroked his back. Clark looked into Lex's eyes and tilted his head so his lips came into contact with Lex. Lex moved into the kiss, licking Clark's lips, seeking entrance to his warm mouth.
Mmm, Clark moaned as Lex's tongue explored the hot depth.
Clark wrapped his hands gently around Lex's skull, entranced with a soft, smooth skin.
Lex, please. Please what, Clark?
Lex pulled back. He did not want to cross any boundaries this time.
I'm afraid, Clark whispered, his body trembling again. He put his hands on Lex's shoulders.
Don't be, I would never hurt you.
Clark nestled into Lex's embrace and closed his eyes. Lex held him tight and wondered how this boy had hung on to his humanity.
Part 6. I need to take you to the hospital so we can report this abuse, Clark.
Lex paced back and forth in Clark's small room. The statute of limitation has not run out yet.
No, Clark was adamant. He had put on his clothes and was sitting on the couch. My foster parents did what they had to.
Okay. Lex thought he would try a different tactic. Give me an example of a bad thing that you did and the punishment you received.
He stopped pacing and sat beside Clark on the couch. One time I stayed after classes to help with the school paper. I'd forgotten to tell my folks that I'd be late for supper.
Clark's face grew ashen. When I got home, they'd already eaten. My supper was on the table, so I sat down to eat.
He paused and looked away.
Go on, Clark. It's okay.
Linda yelled at me about running around doing drugs and having sex.
Clark looked at Lex and blushed. I tried to tell her that I had been at school, but she didn't believe me. She hadn't had anything for me to take for lunch, so I was really hungry by the time I got home. She gave my dinner to the dog.
Clark! Lex, if I'd remembered to tell her, I'd be late. See, it was my own fault.
Did you get anything to eat? Lex asked quietly.
Not at first, but then she said if I was hungry, I could eat the dog's food.
Clark laughed nervously. You know, dog biscuits aren't that bad.
What did you do to earn the burns?
Lex asked, cringing inside, but ignoring Clark's attempt at humor.
I snuck a cigarette, Clark whispered.
George caught me.
Something every teenager does.
How many kids do you think get burned for it? Lex was pissed and didn't care if Clark knew it. Lex, please. Why did he rape you, Clark? Lex asked, getting angrier by the minute. I was looking at a magazine and... Masturbating? Lex finished for him, trying to keep his voice calm, but not succeeding. Only bad kids do that, Lex. George said so. No, Clark. Everyone does it. I do it. What was the magazine you were looking at? Naked Women? No, Clark whispered. George was so mad. I was looking at a sports magazine of... Guys, Lex sighed and closed his eyes momentarily. So he raped you to teach you a lesson? Sex with guys is evil? So he had sex with you? Lex desperately wanted Clark to see the utter wrongness of everything. No more, Lex. Clark was getting angry himself. I've told you enough for you to see that I was a real burden on them. He pulled away from Lex. He wished he hadn't told Lex so much. Why couldn't he just understand that everything was his own fault? And besides, he was out of the house now and on his own. Clark knew he would never go back. The scars were beginning to disappear as he neared his 17th birthday. Soon he hoped there would be no physical reminders left of his life with the Stevens. Okay, Lex said. Can you come into the office around 10 tomorrow morning? I have some business to discuss with you. Lex was determined to find Clark a better job. A day job. Part 7. It was 10:30 and Clark hadn't shown up. Lex was worried because the boy was never late. He had already called the boarding house but was told Clark wasn't there. Lex continued to wait. Maybe the bus Clark rode to work was having problems. At 11 o'clock, Lex called his driver to take him to Clark's apartment. It seemed like all the residents were looking out the window when the black limo pulled up in front of the pale blue boarding house. One lady opened the door before Lex had a chance to knock. Hello, Lex said. I called earlier and was told that Clark wasn't here. Do you know where he might be? I'm worried about him. The lady shook her head. No, Mr. Luther, but you can check his room if you like. Lex went upstairs and opened the door with a spare key the landlady had given him. He swore softly. The room was in shambles. Kitchen drawers were pulled out and dumped. Clark's boxes were opened and the contents strewed around. His few articles of clothing were inside out and torn. Someone had been looking for something, but what? Lex called for the landlady to call the police. He waited and continued to search the room. Near the bed, slightly hidden by the overturned mattress, lay a book of matches. The Smallville Lanes was printed on the front, with a drawing of a bowling ball and pin. Lex's breath caught in his throat. He hurried downstairs and told the landlady to show the police Clark's room. Lex practically ran to the limo and jumped in. Just as he was about to give the driver instructions, his cell phone rang. Lex Luther, he answered. A male voice spoke. We took our boy back, 'cause he's only 16. We couldn't find the money he must have got from you, you know, letting you do it to him. But if you want him, I think we can arrange something. Do it? Arrange something? Lex's eyes narrowed at what he knew was the sound of George Stevens' voice. Yeah, he's legally ours, but you can have him for $50 million. That should pay for all the heartache he caused us. Lex was furious. Oh, and what about the beatings and the cigarette burns? What about the rapes? My attorneys will be all over you like ants on honey. We thought about that, Mr. Luther. The voice grew nervous. If you don't pay, we hide the kid away and you will never see him again. He may be strong, but he has a weakness and we can keep him subdued for an extended length of time. You may even be able to kill him. Lex paled. Kill Clark? He had to get control of the situation. I don't have 50 million lying around in my desk drawer. It will take a few hours to collect that much. Call me back in 3 hours and we can arrange an exchange. Let me talk to Clark. I want to make sure he is all right. Lex heard a commotion and finally Clark came on the line. Lex, I'm okay. They are only using a few of the meteor stones. Don't pay, Lex. It's too much. No! Clark cried out and Lex heard the sound of leather on skin. Stevens! Stevens! Lex yelled into the phone. Shut up, you fucking asswipe!
Stevens could be heard through the phone, obviously screaming at Clark. Then he returned to talking to Lex.
Okay, 3 hours.
Stevens hung up. Lex was hyperventilating by the time he hung up the phone. He thought he might need the inhaler he kept in his desk drawer, but hadn't used in years.
What were these meteor stones, and how did they make Clark weak?
Lex kept taking deep breaths and finally calmed down. Lex went about liquidating $50 million.
Part 8. George Stevens called promptly 3 hours later. Do you have the money?
Of course, Lex answered, as he drove furiously towards Smallville. I have a cashier's check made out to you, in the amount of $150,000. It is as good as cash. The rest has been deposited in an account with your name on it. It isn't safe carrying around cash like that.
Lex had left Metropolis as soon as the money was placed into the new account. Is Clark still all right? I want to talk to him.
Lex could hear someone being dragged to the phone. His foot pushed down even harder on the gas pedal of his Lamborghini. Lex? It was Clark's voice, but different. How are you, Clark? Have they hurt you?
The green meteors. They make me weak. And nauseous.
Clark's voice sounded drained.
The belt?
Stephen's voice came back on the phone.
See, he's fine. Where are you?
Lex checked the road and his watch. I'm about 1 hour from Smallville. I'll tell you what. I won't meet you alone. I will meet you with a check outside the Talon in 1 hour. You bring Clark, and he had better not be hurt.
We did have to subdue him.
He has a few scratches that are starting to heal. Lex swore beneath his breath. There better be no permanent harm to the boy, Stevens. 1 hour. Lex hung up the cell phone and tossed it on the seat next to him. He kept his eyes on the road. He kept his fingers tight around the steering wheel. He kept his lips in a tight frown. He kept driving. The Lamborghini pulled effortlessly into a space a block from the Talon. Lex glanced around, but saw nothing of Clark. He got out of the car and strode purposefully towards the coffee shop. He would count on the Stevens recognizing him, because he had no idea what they looked like. It was nearly 5 o'clock, and the sidewalks were beginning to fill with afterwork pedestrian traffic. Some were headed into the Talon, and some were walking further on to the Diary Queen. There were fewer teenagers about, with summer vacation in full swing. The Talon was a hangout during the school year, but it delighted business during the summer. Lex Plant No. 3 was Smallville's largest employer. Cars were filling the street, employees on their way home from work. Clark could have found a good job at the plant, if he hadn't been running from his foster parents. Lex waited outside the Talon. It was only a minute or two before he was approached by a short, dumpy woman, with dirty blonde hair and a cigarette hanging out of the mouth. He watched her approach him, and his anger began to seethe again. "Mr. Luther?" She threw away the cigarette.
"Yes?"
Lex held himself in tight control. He could not lose his temper now.
"Where is Clark?"
"Oh, he's safe."
Linda Stevens eyed him warily. "You were to bring him for the exchange," Lex said, looking around for Clark.
"George was thinking," Linda began. "We want to put the money in one of those secret accounts somewhere. You know, like Switzerland. A bank might not think it strange for us to have a check for $150,000, but for us to suddenly have $15 million?
She coughed and lit another cigarette. Lex fought back his fury. "Only after I see Clark."
"Okay, come with me."
Linda turned and walked away from the Talon. A grungy pickup truck was parked around the corner. It was empty inside. "I'm not going anywhere with you," Lex said. He knew this would be a setup. "You bring Clark here and we talk further. If you don't, the deal is over." Suddenly, Lex felt something small and round shoved into his back. He pulled his hands in the air and stood still.
Shit!
He hadn't counted on this. He slowly turned around and saw the outline of a gun pointed through Stephen's jacket.
"You kill me and you get no money," Lex said carefully. "I don't have the cashier's check on me, and I can't wire money to an offshore account if I'm dead."
George put the gun on Lex's neck and sneered.
"I'm not going to kill you. You thought you were dealing with country bumpkins, who didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Well, we are not stupid.
Of course not, Mr. Stevens. Lex swallowed hard. Look, all I want is Clark. Stevens pushed Lex toward an alley, where there was an old blue truck with an extended cap. Stevens wrapped a black piece of material around Lex's head so he couldn't see.
Get in the truck and we'll take you to Clark.
Stevens pushed Lex, and he staggered into the front seat. Linda got into the back seat and held the gun to Lex's head, while Stevens drove. The street was busy, but the truck turned into the traffic with little difficulty. Part 9. The truck came to a stop, and Stevens dragged Lex out of the front seat. The air smelled different. Dank. It was quiet. No sounds. No birds. No insects. No wind. Lex tried to keep track of the direction and turns the truck made during their trip to here, but he had lost track miles ago. Stevens pushed Lex through soft dirt, and he tried his best to remain upright. He stumbled over a rock and fell to his hands and knees. Stevens yanked the blindfold off and pushed Lex flat on the ground. Cave. He was inside a cave. As his vision came back to him, Lex scanned the twilight. He didn't know there were any caves in Kansas. Drawings and strange hieroglyphs filled his eyes as he looked over the walls of the cave. The glyphs that accompanied the drawings were unlike any ancient language he could remember studying. They reminded him a little of Aboriginal glyphs he had seen during a trip to Australia when he was in college. He was here to rescue Clark, not get excited over some ancient drawings. He shook his head as if to clear it. Where's Clark? Lex was angry as he dusted himself off, but stayed on the ground. Linda brought Clark around the corner of the cave. The boy had a piece of glimmering green stone strung around his neck. He looked ashen, and the veins in his face stood out. She pushed him toward Lex, and he caught the boy before he hit the ground.
Lex, Clark whispered, his face contorted in pain. The meteor.
This rock around his neck is hurting him, Lex said, holding Clark upright. The Stevens were standing in front of him, smiling callously. Lex wiped the sweat from Clark's face and pushed his hair back.
Give us the money and you can take it off him, Stevens said, leaning against the wall of the cave.
I told you I wasn't carrying it on me. I'll need my cell phone. He gently lay Clark on the ground, his body shaky, his breath shallow. If he dies, you get nothing. Lex stroked the boy's arm in an attempt to soothe him.
That's not enough to kill him, unless it's on him for a really long time. We've done some experimentations.
Lex's skin crawled at Stevens' words. Why had Clark stayed so long with these persecutors? He obviously had the strength and wherewithal to flee. Lex had to remember that with each torment, abused children try even harder to please their abusers.
Here, Linda tossed Lex a phone she had dug out of her purse. You won't be needing that, Mr. Luther.
Both Stevens twisted around to find several police officers aiming guns at them. George raised his arms immediately. Linda glanced furtively around and tried to run, but there was nowhere to go. The cave only had one way out. A female officer grabbed Linda and cuffed her. George gave up calmly, and both were led out of the cave. Mr. Luther, a small but attractive woman, rushed to Lex's side. Are you all right? Lex yanked the glowing meteor from Clark's neck and threw it into the darkness of the cave. Clark's reaction was almost immediate. His breathing improved and he stopped trembling. Clark, are you all right? Lex pulled the boy into an embrace. He held Clark close and stroked the boy's back. Clark nodded against Lex's chest.
Yeah, Lex, I'm fine now.
Clark's voice didn't sound quite as sure as his words.
Mercy, remind me to give you a raise, and remind me when I do that I don't care that you didn't follow my instructions to the letter. You were to wait at the castle.
Mercy smiled and helped Lex and Clark stand. I thought following you at a discreet distance might work better, sir. My car's outside. The police will want to talk to you, but I can put them off until tomorrow. Lex nodded as Clark pulled away and stood on his own. Let me drive you home, Mercy said, as she ushered the two men out of the cave. Outside the cave, Lex realized they were on Luther Corp property. This cave demanded investigation. Lex quickly formulated a plan to
to hire his own archaeological team to work the cave. He hadn't been as excited about anything since the day he met Clark.
1 year later, Clark came to Lex with his eyes smiling. No longer the abused boy Lex met cleaning the floors of LexCorp. Still a bit shy, he stepped through the penthouse doors standing tall, exuding sensuality. A GED in hand and ready for Smallville Community College, he was here to celebrate with Lex. Child services had placed Clark in a new foster home. Clark was not eager to live with another couple, but hadn't been ready to live on his own. Clark adored his new foster parents. The Kents proved to be a wonderful couple, and for the first time in his life, Clark felt part of a family. They helped him begin to see that he was a special person, deserving of love. They dealt with his fears and nightmares. His physical scars began to fade, as did his psychological ones, slowly but surely, and no one ever hit him again. Jonathan Kent showed Clark a secret, which had been hidden in their storm cellar for 14 years. Both he and Martha thought it might provide some answers to Clark's special abilities. Clark showed it to Lex, and together they began to investigate the tiny ship. One day the ship responded to Clark, and a hologram spoke to him. That was the day Clark discovered his extraterrestrial origins. With Lex's help, he began to read some of the glyphs in the cave. But the glyphs' relevance and entire meaning remained just beyond their reach. Lex handed Clark, now 18, a glass of champagne, as he ushered the young man into the living room. Many nights and weekends had been spent here, developing a close friendship. Both felt more, but neither had been ready to act on it. However, now Clark was ready to come to Lex on equal ground, ready to bring more to the relationship, but still a little unsure. Clark set his glass on the coffee table and moved into Lex's personal space, gazing into his blue eyes. Lex? Lex pulled the young man into his arms and stroked his sides and back. He stroked Clark's hair, and the young man trembled. Hesitantly, Clark kissed Lex. Lex deepened the kiss, then pulled back. If you want to stop, we can, but I want to make you feel good, Clark. I want to wash away the last remnants of your past. Clark now seemed to be at odds with himself. They had kissed many times before, but he wanted this. He had wanted this for some time now, but it hadn't felt right. Finally, Clark nodded, and Lex began kissing him in earnest. Clark broke the kiss and stared momentarily into Lex's eyes. I love you, Lex, Clark said, nuzzling under Lex's chin. You mean so much to me. Lex had never said the words before. He held Clark's head tightly against his chest. I love you too, Clark. Our love will be the stuff of legends. The end.